Today's broadcast of Bagels and Blessings has been previously recorded at an earlier time. Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to another week of Bagels and Blessings. Today you're going to hear a pre-recorded interview that I did with David Levitt about 2 years ago. He is in town this weekend, and by the time you hear this, he would have just completed a Be in Health workshop at Congregation Shema Yisrael. So I thought it would be a good time to air this interview again. I hope you enjoy. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Congregation Shema Yisrael. We are a messianic congregation made up of Jews and Gentiles who believe that Jesus, or Yeshua, is the promised Messiah. Our services contain Jewish liturgy and Davidic dancing, and we celebrate the Feasts of Israel. We meet at our new location at 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton, and our services are Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock a.m. Please join us for worship. And while you're in the building, be sure to check out the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop, now open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 1 to 4, and Fridays by appointment only. You can call the Fig Tree Bookstore at 585-484-7775. The Fig Tree Bookstore and Gift Shop is a great place for books, CDs, cards, jewelry, and so much more. So be sure to check them out when you visit the congregational building. Next up, here's Joshua Aaron with Shalom.
When the sun has set on a Friday night, bringing peace into your home, families will gather all around singing Shabbat Shalom. Everybody sing Shalom. Shalom, shalom, shalom. A gift from God to put a smile upon your face. He's got the whole world in his hands, so obey his commands and you will know peace. Shalom.
Lie, 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 lie This is Joshua Aaron, and you are listening to Bagels and Blessings.
I'd like to thank Excellent Air Heating and Cooling for sponsoring Bagels and Blessings. Give them a call today at 585-889-7840. They're a family-owned and operated business. Their prices are fantastic. They will take care of your air conditioner in the summer and your furnace in the winter. Give them a call today because they love the Lord. And they are excellent. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling. 585-889-7840. This is Ethel Chadwick. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. About 9 days after this interview aired 2 years ago, Pastor Henry Wright went home to be with the Lord. He was the founder of Bein' Health Ministries. And you might be familiar with his ministry. You know, there are spiritual roots to disease, and studies have shown that about 80% of illnesses do have spiritual roots. And I think it's fascinating, and I think you should be aware of that and just be familiar with, for example, if you are operating in a spirit of fear or a spirit of anxiety or anger. You know, once you're aware of it, you recognize it, and then you can repent of it and renounce it and resist it. They have something called the 8 R's, and that's the ministry that David Levitt is part of, and we're going to hear his story in just a little while, so stay with me. But in the meantime, I've got more music. Next up, this is Joshua Aaron with Aaron Schust, Isaiah 53.
Form or beauty that we should even look at him. Rejected and despised, our faces turned away. But by his bruises we were. Thank you. die, but silent as a lamb would be. It pleased the heart of God to crush the righteous one. The will of Adonai to crush his only son.
This is Joshua Aaron, and you are listening to Bagels and Blessings.
Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Stay tuned for my previously aired interview with David Levitt from Being Health Ministries. You know, my focus today is on being healed. It says in 3 John verses 1 to 2, and this is the TLV version, "Loved ones, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health just as it is well with your soul." Other versions say, "Be prosper and be in health." And that is my wish for all of you, that you would be in health. Stay tuned for more music. This is Ethel Chadwick. One of my favorite psalms is 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless your holy name, who forgives all my iniquities and heals all my diseases." Here is Barki Nafshi with Sue Samuel.
Baruch Hinafshi Etan Donai.
Here's an oldie but goodie from Kathy Schuster, Arise, O Lord.
This is Kathy Schuster, and you are listening to Bagels and Blessings.
Hallelujah. The Lord hears our prayers. The Lord makes us strong. He takes away our fear and our anxiety. He heals us. I say, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Here is Sarah Lieberman.
City of God in His holy place.
Again, that was Sarah Lieberman, and that comes from Paul Wilbur's CD, Roar from Zion. Hallelujah. This is Ethel Chadwick. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. The interview with David Levitt is coming up soon, but next, I've been featuring some new music from Ted Pierce in the last few weeks, and I'm going to play another one right now. The new project is called A New Day, and this song is called Born of the Spirit.
You may be a good man, always doing what is right. Go to church every day of the week, prayer meetings every night. Without faith, it means nothing. It's a self-righteous sin. Yeshua says that you must be born again. No one gets to heaven just by never doing wrong. And there is no reward because you sing religious songs. The day you lay your life down is the day your life begins. Yeshua said that you must be born again. Born of the Spirit of the Lord. Born of the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, let no man deceive you. We can trust the Lord, my friend. Yeshua said that you must be born again. Now Nicodemus said to Jesus, now hey Rabbi, I'm confused. How does a grown man go back into the womb? We know you are from God by the miracles you've done. You see that God so loved the world, he sent his son. What is born of the flesh is surely born of flesh. From where and when his spirit blows, we can only guess. Those who love the darkness are afraid to leave the night. But those who love the Lord come to the light. Born of the Spirit of the Lord. Born of the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, let no man deceive you. We can trust the Lord, my friend. Yeshua said that you must be born again. Us the power to turn from our own ways, and he proved that he is Lord when he arose upon that day. And though he loved the sinner, he had to die for our sin, but because of him we can be born again. Born of the Spirit of the Lord. Born of the Spirit of the Lord. Let no man deceive you. We can trust the Lord, my friend. Yeshua said that you must be born again. Oh, Jesus showed us how, and there's no better time than now. Yeshua says that you must be born again.
Again, that was Ted Pierce, and next up is Barry and Batya Siegel from their CD, Jerusalem, The Last Frontier. This is Hallelujah.
Your power, make us new. make us vessels, Lord, for you. Let the name of God be our strong tower. Song. Let the chains fall from our hearts in praise, in your praise, and through your Son and the victory that he won. Make us, Lord, to walk in your ways.
And now here's my interview with David Lovett. David Lovett, welcome to Bagels and Blessings.
Hey, thank you for having me.
It is my pleasure. It was so exciting to meet you when you were here recently for a Be in Health conference, and I just have so many questions. And why don't we start at the beginning? I understand that you had a Jewish parent, and I was wondering, you know, how you were raised and what faith and how you came to know Jesus or Yeshua as your Messiah.
Yeah, you know, it was, Rochester was a really great conference. I really enjoyed being up there. My father actually was originally from, born and raised in the Brooklyn area of New York. I think technically New Rochelle. Now that's on the other side of the state from Rochester. But to get to go back to New York and, you know, lay a foundation there, leave a deposit there with the Word of God, that was really meaningful to me from a generational standpoint, because my father and really that whole side of family, none of them do believe in Jesus as their Messiah. And so that was just really meaningful to me. But growing up, it was interesting. I was raised in Atlanta, Georgia. And I was actually raised in a part of Atlanta where there was a lot of Jewish orthodoxy, just mixed in with the community. So I was all around it, went to school with some other Jewish kids and things, but I never considered myself Jewish. And the reason why, I grew up going to the Methodist Church. you know, my father was not very orthodox. He, I could probably count on one hand in 20 years that he was. He passed away when I was 20, but in 20 years that I saw him go to a synagogue or do anything like that. We would go to some family members' houses for certain feasts, like a Passover or things like that, but that even wasn't regular. We might go through a formality of lighting Hanukkah candles and things like that, but I understood faith from more my mother. She raised me in the Methodist Church. I was in church most every Sunday and Sunday school and did all of that. The interesting thing, though, about growing up in that home with basically, I guess, a mixture there, was that God wasn't the issue. It was who was Jesus? And that's where, actually, confusion set in for me. That was the difficulty of it. I remember, golly, I was probably, I don't know, 6 or 7 years old, and I remember asking my sister, who was about 5 years older than me, I said, "Jamie, what's the difference between being Christian and being Jewish? Like, why is Dad one and Mom the other? Or what does it all mean?"
Good question.
And yeah. And she said, "You know, David, it doesn't really mean anything. The only thing, the only difference," and this is how she described it, "the only difference is that Christians believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and Jewish people don't believe that." And so that was my conclusion. And but you can see where a lot of confusion would begin to embed. Seemingly, you know, some people thought that wasn't a big deal, but as you and I both know, that's a huge deal.
Yeah.
Because, you know, understanding that Jesus or Yeshua is the only begotten Son of God, the Messiah, and that everything rests on that is a really, really big deal. So I grew up with an understanding of I really wanted to know God. And when I was 14, believe it or not, after growing up in the Methodist Church, even after 14 years in youth groups and everything, I'd still never heard the gospel, what it meant that Jesus came and died for my sins, and I was forgiven, I could have hope of eternal life. And I remember I went to a Young Life camp. It's just a high school kind of ministry. And I heard it for the first time, and wow, I said, that is why Jesus came. And I knew who Jesus was at that point, and that he was the only way. Where before I thought, well, God's just God, and other, some, you know, people just go to him different ways and different faiths. So that was the beginning. I did not really continue walking with the Lord through my teen years. That came later on, but that was a little bit about what it was like. I mean, they got along fine, and I appreciated certain things about the diversity of the home, but there was a lot of confusion with it as well.
When you finally realized who Jesus is and was, and you started to really follow him, David, how did the Jewish side of your family react to that?
Well, they didn't react at all. They expected that of me. They because in, you know, let's just look at Orthodox Judaism. You know, their way of thinking is that the children take the faith of their mother.
Ah.
So the difficulty for my father's side of the family came when my father married my mother, which was, you know, before I came along.
Of course.
But they learned to embrace her and accept her because she's a wonderful lady. But they just thought that was par for the course, that I would really give my heart to Jesus. And they're not very orthodox, so it didn't really ruffle their feathers too much, like it does in some families. But it didn't bother them a bit, really.
Wow. So, David, you have a really interesting life now, and I'm wondering, how did you get involved with Be in Health and Tell me a little bit about how God has been using you over the years.
Yeah, it is an interesting journey how I got involved in health. Again, when I was 20, that's when I really gave my heart to God. I was through, I don't know if you're familiar with Campus Crusade for Christ, but it was, I was in college, and through Campus Crusade for Christ, that's the same ministry Zola Levitt got saved under. My heart opened up. I knew I wanted to follow God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give Him my whole life and everything, and I want to dedicate the rest of my life to Him. And I did, and it was going really well. Unfortunately, a few months later, my father did pass away from a heart attack. And then, just a month and a half after that, I had my oldest brother also pass away from a heart attack. Now,
oh, no.
I was a late life child for my father. So, my father was a bit older. He had children from other marriages. My brother was, you know, he was on into his mid late 40s, which is way too early to have a heart attack. But you know, still. So I was just this young guy, and this really affected me in a way that I didn't realize. And ultimately, what a psychologist would diagnose PTSD is what the type of symptoms I was having of post-traumatic stress disorder. So you get the panic attacks and the anxiety, and I mean, I had never experienced anything like this in my life. Didn't know what was going on. I thought, well, where's God? I had just given God my heart, you know, and it was going so well, and you know, all these things. And for 2 years, I wandered. Depression began to set in. I knew God had the answers. That's one thing I knew. It was, I've always had a faith that there is nothing that God doesn't have a solution to.
Amen.
But I wasn't finding it. And the place I was going, I wasn't finding it. And so I went on a weekend retreat. It's just one of these retreats that people are kind of down out or going on and need some exhorting and some hope and things. It was a good weekend retreat, but I met a guy there. And this man, you know, I love how God works in people. He uses very unsuspecting people. This man was a painter by trade, but one of the most godly men. I just knew he was godly by being around him. I knew that he just had something I needed. And so I began to talk to him. I began to unfold to him what was going on in my life. Now, for me, one of the biggest journeys I've had to take, Ethel, and still am taking, is communicating. Learning how to talk through things and not try to internalize it and figure it all myself. And so I began to talk to this man, which was really the first guy I had done this with in a couple of years since this really happened. Everybody thought I was normal, but inside I was living a very tormented life. And so I spoke with him about what was going on. He said, you know something? I've got two thoughts. He goes, I know a Christian counselor. He is an amazing Christian counselor. And maybe you need to see him. Or there's this other guy I know. This other guy used to be a musician, and he had some heart issues, and he actually died of atrial fibrillation. I think it was mitral valve prolapse. It was one of those cardiac issues. And he was part of this little church in Georgia, and he got raised from the dead there. And they understand, like, roots of disease and why people get sick and why people are struggling with different things. So I think one of these two options is going to be the best for you. So I said, well, this sounds great. Give me the Christian counselor. that other thing sounds way out there. Like, give me the Christian counselor. That's what I need. And this guy's wisdom, he said this, no, I'm going to pray about it, and I will give you the number of which one I think you should contact. I thought, I don't like that idea. So anyway, I agreed to it, And about 2 or 3 days later, I heard from him, and he said, "I'm going to put you in touch with the musician that was raised from the dead." I said, "Oh, great." You know, here's another dud, you know, here's going to be another stone turned over, and I'm going to keep looking for stuff. And so, but, you know, when you're at that point, you're kind of just going to try stuff. So I called this guy, and, you know, we talked a little bit, and I found out that from where I was living, back then it was called Pleasant Valley Church. We're now called Hope of the Generations, and we have the Ministry of Being Health. I came to a Sunday service just to check it out. It's like, okay, you know. But it was only like 80 miles from where I was living, so it was really close. So most people that have to figure out how to get across the country to come here. And then somebody told me about the For My Life retreat, which is our week-long retreat that we hold here monthly. So I came to that. Now, honestly, I didn't understand much of anything they said. But that's just because of where I was at in my own mind. But I began to have some real hope for the first time. I was like, wait a second. Like, I'm hearing testimonies around here, and I'm hearing things going on and people's lives being changed that I read about in the book of Acts. Like, lunatics now are sane, and people that were terminal are now healed and been living years, and now they're all working in the ministry. And I thought, this is like what it's like in the book of Acts. So
got your attention.
That there was something here.
Yeah, got your attention.
Yeah, it got my attention for sure. And so I stayed with it, and I began just continually to digest and see some changes and to see the fruit of it. And one of the things that really encouraged me, Ethel, was this, was, you know, when I gave my heart to God, let me tell you a story. This was before I gave my heart to God. I was like what you call a frat rat in college. You know, I was in a fraternity and lived that lifestyle, lived in the fraternity house. It was a lot of debauchery and all that type of stuff. And I remember beginning to plug in a little bit to some of the campus ministries there, like Campus Crusade. And I don't know why exactly. It's just, I just felt like I needed to, but I wasn't changing anything. I just, it's like, it's a good thing to, you know, go to some of these meetings and things. And I remember at our fraternity house, we had some woods across from our parking lot, and I was back in those woods just taking a little walk for whatever reason. And I remember coming out of those woods, and I heard a voice. Now, it was not audible, but it was such a strong internal voice. I knew immediately it was from a source other than myself. And here's what it said. Here's what the voice said. No introduction. This is all it said. It was, "David, one day you will serve me."
Wow.
And that's it. That was it. I mean, it was so strong. I mean, and, you know, and I wasn't walking with God or anything at the time, but I answered the voice back. I intuitively knew it was God. I said, "Yes, one day I will, but not now."
Oh, my.
So you can see the generations of being stiff-necked, you know, manifesting in this way. And so, all that to be said was, from the time I really gave my heart to God, I knew that He had called me into serving Him at a full-time level like that. You know, as much as there was a part of me that didn't, I knew inside that was what my life was going to be, and that was the calling for my life. One of the things that I struggled with when I had the anxiety and the depression and all these things, my greatest fear was that God would never be able to use me and that I was too broken. You see, there's many people that feel like that. They feel like they're too broken for it to be used, and so the hope deferred comes, and you know, all these other things come that are secondary to the original problem. And what I saw here was I saw people that were in leadership, were pastoring, that were ministering to other people, helping other people, that came out of really great issues and problems, and God was able to use them. And so my hope began to spring back that, you know what, I can still be used by God. Like, my life isn't going to be a waste. My life is not going to be one that can't be redeemed, and God can't use me for his purposes. And that was really it was very healing to just see that, to see that people that had been even in psych wards at times were now faithfully serving the Lord and helping other people and had been doing it for many, many years. It wasn't just they had a good season. That wasn't who they were anymore, was that old person. They really were changed. They really were new, and God was really able to use them in spite of their past. And so that brought a lot of hope as well to my life. So those were just some of the initial things that I really saw and gravitated to, and I just began to be fed here. And so eventually, after a year and a half of kind of commuting and coming into church here and things, I decided to move on over here, but with no intention of working here. I wanted to work in town, and I just wanted to just be a part of the body here. But I think God had his way, and I began to, let me tell you this. I met my wife here. Her name's Cassie, and I think y'all have chatted before. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to propose to her, and so, but I didn't have a job. I mean, can't propose, you don't have a job, you know? And so there was a maintenance spot that opened up at Beaton Health, and I had some experience in that. And so they interviewed me for it, and I took it, thinking, I'll do this for 6 months to a year. This can provide a paycheck while, you know, I asked her to marry me, and we get started. So this is about 11 years ago now, you know, worked in maintenance for about a year and then moved to other departments. And it's just like, I kept thinking I was going to be leaving here, but I just kept staying and staying, and new things kept opening up and opening up. And then I began to teach. And as I began to teach, I really found a place that I felt like God wanted to use me. It was in the area of teaching. For whatever reason, well, it's not whatever reason, I know that for me, it's a gift. God has been able to give me the ability to understand things pretty quickly from the Word, or take really big subjects or big themes or even complicated issues from the Word and break them down in very manageable ways that people can feed on. And so that's what I do here now. I am sit in the office of a teacher, and I was ordained about a year and a half ago in that, and been very active since in Be In Health conferences like the one you attended, and overseeing doctrine of Be In Health and Hope of the Generations Church. So it's a challenging experience. It's a challenging position. One, honestly, I don't feel super equipped most days to do. But I find that that's probably the best situation I could be in, is to feel unequipped so that he can actually get a word in. That's God can get a word in edgewise, or else, you know, I'd probably mess it up.
Well, you know, we've just about run out of time, David, but what strikes me is that you're just another example of God taking someone who was broken, healing them, and helping others who are broken to know God and to be set free. And so I am sure that one day when you meet the Lord face to face, he is going to say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." How exciting! I'm a Jewish mother, so let me just tell you, I'm so proud of you.
Oh, thanks so much, Ethel. You know, that's encouraging. If you would think the Lord would say that. That is one of the things I really, that is the vision of my heart, is when it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." You know, anybody listening, this may be an encouragement to them. You know, we go through a lot of things ups and downs and challenges and obstacles with people, ourselves, and circumstances. But one day, to those that stay pure, you will see your Father face to face. And Revelation and Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, define what's going to happen when you see your Father face to face and you've been found faithful. It says that He will wipe away all tears, and he'll take away the rebuke and the reproach off His people.
Mm.
So there's great comfort coming, and that keeps me going straight ahead many, many days. And so anybody listening, Jew or Gentile, one day you will see your Father face to face as you stay true and faithful. So
praise God.
I really appreciate you letting me come on your show, Ethel. It's been a pleasure.
Well, thank you for taking time out of your schedule. And really, I would just say to you, keep up the good work, because God will continue to use you, and it's really exciting to see what He has planned for you. And so I'm excited, and I hope to talk with you again soon.
Me too, Ethel. God bless you.
You too. Shalom for now.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yivarechech Adonai v'yismorecha. Yair Adonai panav alecha v'ikunecha. Yisa Adonai panav alecha. V'yasem lecha shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying shalom alechem, peace be with you. Remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.